Shavuot. It starts like this. Hayiki Shavuot.
Okay, it deals with Bikurim in the beginning of the parsha, but it's really a big issue. Hayiki Shavuot. Hashem Elokecha Nosim Lecha Nachala. V'Yishtov Yeshav Tovah. When you go to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you as an inheritance, and you inherit it, you drive everyone out, and you live inside it. L'Kasam Yerishis Kol Pri Adamah. You're going to take from the first fruits of the land. Shir Tovi Me'Artzcha that you bring from your land. Hashem Elokecha Nosim Lecha that God gave you. Santa Vatani. You put it in a basket. Halato L'Makom Hashiyuk Hashem Elokecha L'Shkin Shmo Shem. You bring it to Yerushalayim. Strange, no? Nowhere in the Torah does it mention anywhere, anything about Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash. The closest we get to is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places his name there. Not one mention of Yerushalayim, not one mention of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, it was a machlokas where the Beis HaMikdash should be. And David HaMelech and Shmuel and Abihel, there was Yerushalayim. Shaul HaMelech held otherwise. Shaul HaMelech said that there was a different place that the Beis HaMikdash should go. It's machlokas where it should go. But that's what it says. Uvosal HaKoin Asher Yebayim. You'll go to the Kohen that's there in those days. But I say, well, you'll say to him a whole line. I said over, and Venisa Vamarta, Arami Oviravi, you know, what we say on Pesach night in the Haggadah, Arami Oviravi, Vayard Mitzrayma, Love and Arami tried to trick my father Jacob. We went down to Egypt, Vayard Gershom Mitzrayma'at, and then Vayarayu Osonam Mitzrayim, they did bad things to us, Vayarayu Osonam Mitzrayim, we daven to Hashem, Yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, he took us out, Vivienu Lamakom Azeh, and that's Avetali Nei Vesias Rishis Priyadimah. Now I'm giving you the first fruits. V'samachta, says the Pasuk, V'samachta Bechol Atov, Asher Nesamachal Hashem Elokecha. You will be happy with all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, Ula Vesacha, for you and your house. You, the lady, and the ger, shabikabach. Okay, a bunch of different issues over here. Vistamachta. The haya is a lashon of simcha. It's like, I'm all happy and everything's all good. Why do we start off the whole parsha of Bikurin with a lashon of simcha? Lashon of simcha. So, chazal darshan, you're not allowed to eat Bikurin when you're an oni. When somebody passes away before you bury the person, and you're in charge of that person, you're either the child or the brother or whatever it is, you're in charge of that person, you're not allowed to eat Bikurim when you're an Onin because you're sad. So Vahaya is what they darshan out for that. Why is Bikurim all about happiness? Why does there have to be happiness when you're having Bikurim? Number two, it's right after Amalek. What's the connection to Amalek that right after we finish with Amalek, we say all this? Number three, all of a sudden we bring up Gulas Mitzrayim. You have to say Arami Ovidavi Vayirid Mitzrayim. We have to bring out Yitzias Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim. There's no other mitzvah that you get up and you mention. I know we say Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? We say that in our Kiddush or whatever it is. But there's no other time where we get up and we mention we left Mitzrayim. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for everything you've done. All of a sudden, by Bikurim, we have to get up and we have to do it. Number three, what is this Samachta B'Chol HaTov? You will be happy with all the goodness that God gives you. Is that a command? Like, you better be happy. If you're not happy, then you're in trouble. Like, what does that mean? That's number one. Number two, I mean, if it's not a command, it's a fact. Once you bring Bikurim, I'm guaranteeing you, God says, you're going to be happy. You will be a happy person. What kind of a guarantee is that? It's right before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's when you brought your Bikurim. Right around that time. Granted, if it was by Sukkot time, that would be okay. But by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you could bring it any time around then. You're automatically going to be happy? Aren't you scared about the din? Aren't you scared about Yom Kippur? It's all. How in the world couldn't a person... what does that mean exactly? What is it, the guarantee of being happy? It's a couple of gematrias. But it's for sure gematrias, so they work out really, really well. Sure says, B'chol atov, V'samachta b'chol atov, you will be happy with all the goodness. B'chol atov, in gematria, add on one, kolon. So it's 75. Same gematria as bitachon. So here's what he says. He says, I don't know how you can quantify this, or if you can really test this out. I don't know. He says, the happiest people that you will ever see are those people who feel that they're entirely taken care of, and they don't have to worry about anything. Don't need to lift a finger, and they know they'll get absolutely everything they need, like a baby. A baby is always constantly happy. He doesn't know what he's upset about when he cries, but a baby is always happy because he has no worries, no real issues. Therefore, what kind of a life is he? He lives a perfect type of life. Not a working life, obviously, but he's there. He gets a dirty diaper now and then. You know, he has ugly people kissing him once in a while. But that's about it. There's nothing else that a baby really has to worry about. What else does he have to worry about? So because he doesn't have to worry, so the baby's always smiling, cooing, and everything's all good. He knows he's going to get all the food that he wants, all the drink that he wants, any issues. Somebody's always going to be holding him. Somebody's always going to pay attention to him. All he has to do is let out a little cry, and 15 people are running over, oh, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Stroking the baby and making sure everything's okay. He has bitachon. He purely has bitachon. And his parents, but he has bitachon. He is so self-assured, therefore he can be happy. What takes away our bitachon? What makes us lose our trust in God? Our worries and our fears. are worries that something will happen that I didn't foresee, and then all of a sudden something just came in. I was shocked by it, and our fear that we may not have everything we need, our fear that we are not in the place that we possibly could be. I could get more or whatever it is, and I may not have enough tomorrow. I may have a credit card debt or something else. It's bothering me. And those fears, those worries are getting you. With bitachon, you can get that simcha back. If you trusted, says Rav Shor, you'd get it all back. That's the b'chol atov. That's why bitachon is the same gematria as b'chol atov. But without it, you're falling into the depths of teva, of nature, and mikra. Things just happening by chance, so to speak. And you think that things just happen, so you got to deal with it. So no, I live a hard life. And things are really bad in this life. And things are really, you know, they're not easy for me to deal with. That's what ends up happening, because you don't have that bitachon. The Midrash says by the bracha, when it goes into the bracha, Parakhafkas Pasagalas, says the following. It says, V'haya, im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem alakecha, if you will listen to the voice of Hashem your God, lishmo lasas kol mitzvosa, to do all of His mitzvos, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, that I command you today, says the Midrash. Hayom, you have to look at every mitzvah as if it was given today. It has to be new to you, like it's mamish, like the mitzvah, I am at Har Sinai today, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, put on tefillin today, and it's the first time I've ever put on tefillin. That's how I have to look at it. Put on tefillin in the morning, it's the first time I've ever been able to do it. First time I'm putting on tefillin, it's got to be the greatest mitzvah. That's the feeling that you have to have. That's what Hayom is trying to tell you. Hayom is today. It's a chiddush, it's a new thing altogether. That makes sense. You only get the brachos if you treat it as if it's new. Not if you just do the mitzvahs. If you do the mitzvahs correctly, then Hashem is going to reward you. But then you look at the curse. If you don't listen to the voice of Hashem your God, not to do any of His mitzvos, that I commanded you to do today. So wait, what does that mean? The Medrash doesn't say anything on this pasuk, but it's the same ayom. So what does that mean? If you don't do mitzvos happily, then you get cursed? If you just do mitzvos out of habit, by rote, because your parents taught you how to do it, then you get cursed? Because you're not doing the mitzvahs b'simcha, but you're doing the mitzvahs. And yet you're getting cursed. Not only cursed, I mean, this is a pretty darn bad curse. 98 curses worth. For what? Because I wasn't happy when I put on my tefillin in the morning? Because I wasn't happy when I made a bracha? That's the reason why I'm being cursed. All of a sudden I'm being cursed. What in the world does that mean? How could that happen? Says Rav Shor, if you don't have any simcha, that means you don't have any bitachon. What that means is you think it's second nature. You think it's natural for good things or bad things to happen. You're naturally wise. You're naturally smart. You can figure things out on your own. And the business that you've started with your own entrepreneurship is out of your own head. There's no God involved. And therefore, anything bad that happens is also by nature. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved. It's all been mikra. Throughout the Tokelah, not here, but in Bechukosai, he used the word bikeri. You act with Kerry, because Baruch will act with you with Kerry. You say it's all natural. It's not God. God isn't involved over here. This is just the way of the world. And Akash Baruch says, you think so? Then I'll make sure you know that it's the way of the world. I'm going to make sure that this happens according to the way of the world. The natural way, that natural way of looking at things, is the way the other nations of the world deal with things. Because they're under the mazel. They're under all the mazolos of the world, the constellations, and dealing with the stars of the sky and doing what they have. 70 nations are under those mazolos of the sky. The 70 nations are split up into 35 nations each. And there's a leader of each one of those 35 nations. One of the leaders is Esav, and the other is Yishmael. How do you beat Esav and Yishmael? How do you defeat that natural way of the Umos Olam? Well, who's the leader of the Christians? Got a good man by the name of Yeshu. Yeshu is the gematria of 316. Who's the leader of the Islamic nation, I guess we can call it? Yishmael. Mahmud. Mahmud is the gematria of 98. 98 plus 316 is 414. The way to defeat Yeshu and Mahmud is by having that love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the point where you have such bitachon, you know things are going to be okay, to which you put on you do these mitzvahs during the day, and you want to do them. Not just you have to do them, you want to do them. V'ahavta. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha is the gematria 414. the same gematria of Yeshua and Mahmud. If you show that love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you destroy the powers of Yeshua and Mahmud. You take down everything that they stand for, and you start doing things that are simcha, not because it just happens, because I believe that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I want to do these mitzvot. Not I need to, I want to do that. That's how you defeat the klipos. But there's two times that it says the word Be'ahavta in the Torah. Be'ahavta is Hashem Elokecha, we know. Anybody know the other one? Most important pasuk in the Torah. According to Rabbi Akiva. V'ahavta, l'reacha, kamocha. There's two v'ahavtas. The only two v'ahavtas in the Torah. The only two v'ahavtas in all Tanakh, actually. Only two v'ahavtas. What's the pshat behind v'ahavta, l'reacha, kamocha, v'ahavta, yis Hashem alekecha? It's two different types of love that you have to have. You can't just do it for yourself. We spoke about this last week. It's got to be an all-inclusive, everybody involved, not just about me, but about everyone. Let's try to help out other people while we're at it. There's an Avas Hashem and Avas Abrios that goes together. You take those two V'ahavtas together, you are guaranteed to be Matzliach, which is why V'ahavta plus V'ahavta, 414 plus 414, is 828. The same gematria as V'samachta V'chol HaTov. Same exact mashiv of Samachta B'chol HaTov. That's what it means. Because once you bring the Bikurim, not that you will be happy. If you bring the Bikurim in the correct way, if you bring it in the way that V'haya Kisav Al Haaretz, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me something. And I don't know if anybody's ever grown plants before. And if you have, some of you might not want to tell me. But if you have grown plants before, or flowers or anything like that, you see things being grown, and you feel good about yourself. It's not like an animal where it's a gradual growth, and you don't really see the growth. And all of a sudden you look at your fish tank, and it's like, oh, my fish is bigger now. Or the dog is a little bit bigger now. It's a gradual growth. You don't really see that. By a plant, you can see it coming. You see it growing out of the ground, sprouting out of the ground. You're like, that's me. That's me. I did that. There's a simcha to that. If you take that first fruit, the fruit that you say, that's me, I did that. And you say, it's not me. It's God's. You take that first fruit and you give it over to God, you should be happy about that fact. Not because you have to, because I want to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving you my first fruits. I'm giving you the fruits that I want to give to you in a happy way. I want to do it in the best way possible. And in that case, you're guaranteed v'samachta b'chol HaTov. You're guaranteed bitachon. You're guaranteed ava. You know what my raya is? I just thought of it. Cain. What did Cain bring? His first fruits. So that's a mitzvah, right? But he didn't do it b'simcha. He did it because he felt he had to, as opposed to doing it in the right way b'simcha. So what happened to Cain? Not accepted. That type of a korban is not accepted. Because doing things b'simcha makes it something that you really stand for. Otherwise, you fall into the category of what Yeshua and Mahmud stand for. That's not something you want to get yourself in. Okay, so what do? You're not happy, so you try comparative religions. You go around, and sometimes it seems to work out for them. So there's a Gemara. Avodah Zarah Nun Hei Med Aleph. A Tana by the name of Zonin. We don't see him very often in the Gemara. I don't think he's more than once or twice. But Zonin went up to Rabbi Akiva, and he said to him, listen, you and I know that Avodah Zarah is absolutely nothing. That Avodah Zarah means absolutely nothing to anyone. We know that. But we see people go into temples sick and lame. We see them walk in with issues, with problems. They can't walk, they can't do this, they can't do that. We see them walk in that way, and they come back, and they're fine. They're healed. Has anybody ever read these little books about what Christian priests have been able to do? How in the world, they're healers, yeah. How are they, what are they worth? Let's just say 99% of those stories are fake. But that means that 1% of those stories are real. How in the world is that guy able to do it? He doesn't have Kabbalah. He doesn't have any of this stuff. How is he able to work?
Illusion.
It's illusion. Okay, 1% of the stories may be true. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stories. Say, find 99% of them are fake. But one story might be true. So how do we understand that? 100%. They do have an ability through Kishuf. Are we just going to say it's Kishuf and that's it? And that's, you know, and we're done with it? How do we explain it every time? I mean, there are stories, not only just nowadays, of people that have had things happen to them. I know we've had Bubba Sally stories. Those who were in the wheelchairs and the Bubba Sally to them, just get up. Bubba Sally just said to them, get up. And he went. My Rosh Hashiva was privy to one of those people. One of those people that was in a wheelchair from a bullet that was lodged in his spine from the either 67 or 73 war. I'm not so sure which one. And he was paralyzed from the part of his, some part of his body all the way down, could be from his neck down. He was in a wheelchair, and the Bubba Sali said to him, get up and walk to me. and the man got up and walked to him, sat him down. And Rosh Yeshiva was privy to that, Rebbe Lerfield, and he didn't see that happen, but he saw the man going into the base medrash, which is right by, it was Yeshiva HaDarom, and kissing the Sfarim on the shelves. And Rosh Yeshiva went up to him and said to him, what happened? He told him, and he went to the Baba Sali, and they had a little farbrengen. They took a little, whatever they had, Iraq, you know, the little wrap around the bottles and pouring it out and whatever it was. So we have that. Okay, I can understand the Baba Sali doing something like that. I can understand him, a kobol of huge stature, that is the ability to be able to do something like that. But how do they have that? And you can't say that it's all a fake. Don't say that it's all a fake. There must be something there. So here's what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva said, Amashal, there's a trustworthy guy in town. Everyone leaves their money by him, but they don't bring any aid him. They just trust the guy. You know, they take their money, they put it down by him. They're like, okay, I'll just leave it by you and everything will be okay. They put the money down and that's perfectly fine. Okay, one guy always brings aid him. He doesn't trust the guy. This guy's the most trustworthy person in town. But one guy always brings aid him, puts down the money, and then, you know, whatever, says like, hey, you better not take this money from me, and goes away. So one day he came to him, and he forgot to bring the aid him. He was in a hurry. And he's like, I didn't bring Adam. Please, just hold this for me. Please, please, I have to trust you this time. Please, don't take the money. So the wife of that trustworthy guy says to him, let's take the money. Let's show this guy a lesson. Let's teach this guy a lesson for, you know, not trusting us. We'll show him how not to trust. The husband looks at her and says, like, what are you, a fool? I have this trustworthiness that's been going on for years. Everyone in this town trusts me. Now you want me to lose my good name? For what? For what? This pshat. You know, the pasuk calls them in Parakhafchas Nuntes, when they're going through all the bad things that happen, he calls them V'yitla Hashem es makos chav es makos alecha, makos gidolos v'ne'emanos. You're going to have makos, you know, plagues that are great, v'ne'emanos. What does that mean? Ne'emanos. Trustworthy. And then it says v'chaloyim ro'im, and bad sicknesses, v'ne'emanim. And trustworthy ones. It says, when is a sickness trustworthy? What do you do with a sickness? How can this possibly, a sickness, be trustworthy? How could that work? Here's pshat. The pshat is, says Rabbi Akiva, and this is his raya. He says, with these surin, they're always given until a certain date, at a certain time, in a certain place. They're always given with a stopping point. You are going to lose these yisurin at a certain point. Now, we're not privy to that information. The guy who got very, very sick will never know when he gets out of that sickness. He'll never know when the coma is up. But in Shemayim, they know, and it's all set, and everybody up there knows, including the Satan. Says Rabbi Akiva, the Yisurin are sent until a certain date. And on that day that the Yisurin are going away, that guy went to a base of Odezara. He had given up hope on God. He went to a house of idol worship. He went over to that place of idols, and he davened. And in that place, it was the day that the Yisurin were supposed to leave. And on that day, the Yisurin said the following. The Yisurin said, maybe we shouldn't leave. Because if we leave now, he's going to think that the Avodazara is true. But they say, what? We're trustworthy. Because of one little fool, we're going to lose our trustworthiness? We believe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us, that we're going to leave on the day that he tells us to leave. So we're going to leave on the day that he leaves. So one fool gets fooled, what do we care? What a coincidence, huh? On that day that the sicknesses were going to go away, all of a sudden he went to a house of Avodah Zarah. Isn't that crazy? Says the Chassam Sofer. Beautiful Chassam Sofer. He says, the Yetzirah knows that date. The Satan, he's sitting up there and he knows that date. And he works on you. He works on you knowing what the date is. And on that day where he knows the Yisurin are going away, on that day he doesn't stop. He goes after you as much as he can. And he says, go to that place, go to that place, go to that place, go to that place. And the guy just can't help it anymore. He says, alright, fine, I'll go. And the guy listens to his Yetzer Hara. And all of a sudden, he gets healed. All of a sudden. It's the Yetzer Hara that made him go there on that day. Because the Yetzer Hara knew what day it was. He knew it was the day the Yisur were going away. That's not a coincidence. And now he's got you in Iman of Shach. Either you believe that the Avodah Zarah is Mamish, or you believe that there's such a thing as Mikra. Because there's no way that a Kadosh Baruch would allow it to go away on that day exactly. No way, right? So either you believe it's the Avodah Zarah that's healing you, and the Avodah Zarah is the Iker, or you have to believe that there's such things that have just happened and it doesn't matter with anything else. It's unbelievable. You know how bad the curses are? Not only are they going to be makos, royim. Not only are they going to be makos gedolos and chaloyim royim. Not only that, but they're going to be ne'emanim. They're going to be trustworthy. And that's the worst part. The worst part is that we're going to think the wrong thing when the Yisurin go away. Because it's going to go away and there's going to be something there that happens that all of a sudden you think that that's why it went away. I don't want to, again, this is like, pure speculation on my part, and I don't want to like go a little bit crazy with this. You know, I don't want to take it too far. I'm just saying it could be that. I'll give you an example. When I was 16 or 17 years old, I knocked on the window once. My brother was knocking on the window to get in. I was annoyed by it, so I knocked on the window the other way. My hand went right through the glass, and then that wasn't the problem. I pulled back. That was a major problem. So I had I cut myself open completely, and I was bleeding all over the place, and it was right on this part of the arm. So I can say to people like I attempted suicide once, but you know I tried. Yeah, so I tried. So what happened was, it was a crazy little story. I went to the hospital. They ended up sewing me up with a piece of glass left inside my vein. They didn't know it, but there was a piece of glass there. When I was going away from the hospital, walking away from the hospital, they had a little bandage on, you know, with those stitches and whatever it was, and I bled through the bandage, and then I passed out. My dad, who was with me, picked me up, ran me back inside the emergency room. They opened up the thing, and I was bleeding a lot, and they found out that there was a piece of glass inside there, and they realized that they'd almost severed my artery. So in order to reattach the artery and to make sure that I would have use of my right hand, because otherwise my right hand was pretty much going to be gone, they needed to call in a specialist. It happened to be that the expert specialist in hand surgeries, reattaching the right hand of the hand to your arm within the arteries, was giving a speech at Northwestern University that day. And I was in Evanston Hospital. So it was right there. So they commissioned the guy. He agreed to do the surgery. It was a 6-hour surgery in the middle of the night. And it ended up being everything, thank God, is perfectly fine. All I have is a real bad scar from it. And I'm done. It could be that the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, put that all together. He's saying to you, it wasn't a Kadosh Baruch Hu that did it for you. It wasn't a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was that doctor. And I still remember going back to the doctor. And he said, where's the hand that I saved? I still remember. He came back to Chicago. I went to go visit him. It was like 3 months later. And he's like, where's that hand that I saved? Let me see it. And I went and he looked at it. And I was just like, you saved. And it's a crazy thought that the HR does these things all of a sudden at the exact moment. Oh, it's all of a sudden a coincidence. So you'd think, oh, it's such a chance that it happened to be on the same day. Or it's able to get you to think that it's not God. It's somebody else that's doing it and not him. Again, extreme. I'm doing this in an extreme way. But either way, I just wanted to bring that point up to make a point, really.
Jewish surgeon?
What?
Jewish surgeon?
I don't know. To this day, I have absolutely no idea. I forgot what his name is, but I have absolutely no idea what, you know, who exactly he was. Here we go. Let's bring ourselves back to Bikurim. So why all the simcha, right? What happens when there's Bikurim? New fruits. What time of year is it when the new fruits come about? Springtime. Springtime, right? What happens in spring? Did anyone ever notice that everyone's a lot happier when it's spring? When it's winter, everyone is sad. Everyone is just upset. In the winter?
I love it.
You just like the cold?
Yes.
You just like the cold. You're not happy when it's spring. You see everything growing, everything like renewing itself, so to speak. And all of a sudden, like everybody's happy. Everybody feels they got a new life. It's all new. It's new this and new that, and everything's all good. That's when all the sales go on. That's when everything happens. I mean, that's the time when everything's all good. In fact, it's really the beginning of the year. Not only because of Nisan. Think about it. Why would March be March? What does March mean? To go ahead, right? Why would that be in the middle of a year? Why would the leap month be in the middle of a year? Wouldn't the leap month, the only month that is the least amount of days, wouldn't that be the last month of the year? The non-Jews switched the calendar. It originally was that March was the beginning of the year and it went down. And that makes sense because that's spring. That's when spring comes in. They switched it to January in honor of Yashka. To be able to put it all together, to be able to put that holiday from December 25th to January 1st, to be able to make a holiday all together so they get the bris down. And then everything's perfectly fine. But technically, it's really March. March 1st. When do we make our leap year? In Adar, which is the last month of the year. That's when you always do it. That's why Nisan is the beginning of the year. That's what March is. March should have been that way. It never was. It's such a crazy little concept. But that's the idea behind it. It's the beginning. How many people start Daf Yomi when the cycle starts up again? Like 750,000. How many people are still doing Daf Yomi a week later? A week later. Like 20. And you're done. Because you get like so into it when something new is starting up again. You're like all into it. The beginning of a Zman, the beginning of like a yeshiva, you're starting a new Seder, you're starting something new. You sit there and you're like, whoa, it's all good. And then a week later, you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's all, you know, it happened. Yeah, it started. It was all good. How many people, when it's Bereshis, everybody's Shnai Mikra Racha Targum on Bereshis. and you're like trying your hardest, you're going through Bereshit, you might even start with the Rashis, all of a sudden you get to Noach, and you're like, 160, what? You're telling me there's that many psukim? What? That's not happening. And you're done. It's just, it's over by Noach. It's just, you're done. You can't finish it off. The key is to start it off well, and to protect yourself to the point where you can keep it for longer. It's Rashis for a reason. Bikurim is brought at a time when you're naturally happy. The Jewish thought is that if you give your firsts back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give your rachis back to God, then God will reward you for it and find for you, help you out, so that it's not just an acharis. It's not just an end. It becomes a rachis with a future. There's something there, that's what it means. And you can find it within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadish bechol yom tamid ma'asav rachis. Every day is new for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day is mechadish the entire world. It's a brand new world every day. If you're only privy to that. Every single day to be able to search for it and to find that he's chachis and to be able to be there. The problem is there's choshech. There's klipos surrounding us at all times. Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh is what we say. That's how the Sfasemes puts it. Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. We don't see it as chadash because it's under the sun. We need to rejuvenate ourselves. And that's what Shabbos is all about, by the way. Shabbos. It's not the end of the week. It's the beginning of the next week. It's the Kedusha that you're inspiring yourself to be able to keep the next week with all the holiness that you got from that Shabbos. It's the end of the hustle and the bustle. The whole week and everything is all long going. It's the beginning of a brand new week. The week shouldn't start with a Sunday. It only starts with a Sunday because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, with a Sunday. Shabbos is the beginning of every week. The first full day that Adam Rishon had was Shabbos for that reason. That's the reason why, to make it start that way. That's why when Bikurim was taken away, Moshe Rabbeinu was metakin tefillah. He brought in chakras. So that what? So at the beginning of your day, you know what to do. Give your day to God. Wake up in the morning and don't just get out there and just do whatever you need to do. Wake up, go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, God, I am here with you. That's the idea. Because the same idea of Bikurim, of giving your first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a land that thrived off agriculture, was the exact same idea of giving your tefillah, your day, hours of your day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect back. Oh, Amalek. Amalek is so darn powerful. There's nothing like Amalek. They're also called Rashis. Rashis Goyim Amalek. They're the beginning of all the nations. You know why? Because they have a Rashis that ends up being an Acharis. You know the Chassam Sofer? They're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Everything the Chassam Sofer says is brilliant. Why did Shaul leave Agag? Agag was the king of Amalek. Shaul destroyed all of Amalek except for Agag, the king of Amalek. Why did he leave him alone? Shaul's not a fool. He knows there's a mitzvah to destroy all of Amalek. He knows that the king must destroy all of Amalek. So why did he leave him alive? Because Amalek is a racious. And the king of a nation is a racious deracious. He thought, a racious deracious cannot be killed by stam a person. It has to be killed by the leader of the generation. Who's the leader of the generation? Shaul said Shmuel was. Shmuel said Shaul was. And that was the machlokas. Shaul held that he wasn't good enough. He wasn't strong enough to be able to defeat the Rashis Tereshis. He wasn't the person to be able to take that down. But he was. And had he believed in himself, had he believed that he was the one to be able to do it, then everything would have been good. But he understood that there's a Rashis. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with what the Amalek is. It's like a false start, so to speak. Amalek stands for the false start. Where Kedusha... What? Shmuel Hanavi, once it all happened, Shmuel Hanavi was the one that said, now that you're leaving it up to me, now it's my turn to be able to take him down. If you think that I'm the strongest one here, that means that I am, but that also means that you're no longer going to be king. Because I'm the one who's going to be the strongest of the nation. If you took it on your own, you would be the king, you would have destroyed Amalek, you would have built up the base of Mikdash. But you didn't. Because you didn't, now I'm the one who's going to do it, and I'm going to make the next king, which is David and Melch. Yeah.
Wasn't Shmuel punished for taking the initiative like that? Like he said.
Shmuel for killing Agag?
Like, I'm the seer.
He was punished for the wording that he said. Very good. But he was never punished for what he did. Never punished for what he did. He was supposed to go ahead and kill once Shaul allowed him to be able to do it. This is what Amalek does.
So, the question then, like, if Shaul had taken the initiative and killed him, who is... It's one thing if you say you're the greatest person, but if someone...
Not if you're a king, you have to say you're the greatest person. This is not like a time for anibus. You're a king, you are a king. You don't go around and be like, no, please, please, go ahead. King doesn't do that. The king is first. Whoever is the king, that person is there. I don't care who you're going after. Your father doesn't come first. Your Rebbe doesn't come first. You are the king. You don't have to, and you don't listen to anybody else. So that's Amalek. Amalek is the power of false starts. It's the power where Kiddusha, in reality, becomes Korcha. It becomes something that's just stale and old. They make everything so bad, exciting. Exciting. It's exciting to do Averis. It's exciting to be able to do certain things. And that's the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted them. And Bikurim is the idea of taking that Rishis and doing it in the right way. Allowing it to be good. And you know how you can tell the difference? You know how you can tell the difference if it's good or bad? V'samachta b'chol atov. After you finish it, are you happy? After you finish going to Great America, what happens? Do you have a feeling of exhilaration? Are you more cooled down and rested for the rest of the day? It was awesome at the time. Awesome at the time. When you're done with it, what ends up happening? You sort of like lose it. There's nothing there. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. By a mitzvah, not a guarantee, but this is after you bring the Bikurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'samachta b'chol atov. You will still be happy. You will still be happy. That happiness will remain with you. And that's how you tell if it's the Yetzer Hara or if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is the Rishis a good Rishis or is the Rishis a bad Rishis? Rabbi Yitzchak Elkan Inspector, tremendous wealth, lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, one of the leaders of the Musar movement with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, etc. He had a Talmud that was drafted into the army. That was a bad thing back then. You know, the Russian army was not a good place to be. But in the end, he was exempted. So a boy ran into his office while Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah was speaking with somebody else, ran into his office, and yelled out loud, and he said, the boy was exempted, the boy was exempted. He got a patur. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah smiled with the biggest smile. He said, thank you so much for telling me. Such great news. Thank you. So a couple minutes later, another boy walked in. He said, the boy got a patur, the boy got a patur. Yitzchak Elkanah put on the same exact big smile. And he's like, thank you so much for telling me. That's such great news. Thank you. Third bacher came in. Fourth bacher, fifth bacher, sixth bacher. Exact same reaction. The person who was with them saw the exact same smile, the exact same words from Yitzchak Elkanah's face. The exact same thing, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Well, he said to him, he's like, well, what's going on? What are you just telling him? You know, like, well, why wouldn't you tell him that? So Yitzchak Elkanah said to him, listen, every single bacher wanted to be the one to tell me, to make it seem like I'm the one who heard it, they were the ones who told me first, that they're the ones who made it new for me. How can I upset them? Everybody wants to be the bearer of good news. Everybody wants to be that guy who said it first before anybody else. How can you knock down that guy and be like, oh, I heard it already. Heard it already. How many times do we hear news from one guy to the next guy to the next guy? You hear from the third guy and you're like, yeah, I heard that like 4 hours ago. And not only that, you exaggerate. You didn't hear 4 hours ago, you heard it 20 minutes ago. But you want to show the guy, oh, I heard it before you. I heard it before you. So you say like, oh, I heard that like 2 days ago. It only happened yesterday. Yeah, I heard it before it happened. Like you want to say it. How many times does that happen? Because it's the exact, I don't think that Rabbi Yisrael Khan had faked it. I think he honestly felt that you can put yourself on that level of such simcha, you can honestly feel it's brand new for you. You have to try. Yeah, it takes a lot of work. But you can get yourself to the level where you feel it's brand new. That's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Is gaber kari lamod baboker. Get up like a lion to wake up in the morning. It's so funny. Rav Eli Lapian, who's Mashkiach in Be'er Miriam? Was that the yeshiva that he was in? I forgot what it is. Kochav Yaakov. But he was a Mashkiach there, and then he was in England. He was in England before that. Rav Eli Lapian used to be makbid gummer to jump out of his bed. Even when he was 80 years old, he's jumping out of his bed and getting up like a lion and mooring out. And they asked him, why? Why are you still makbid on this? And he said, when I go up to Olam Haba, they're going to test me. They're going to pull out a Shulchan Aruch, and they're going to be like, okay, first halacha, did you get up like a lion when you woke up in the morning? I don't want to be missing that first halacha. The first thing, like, no. Okay, let's go to the second halacha. That's the worst thing in the world. You want a good start. Once you get a good start, then you'll start going on to the end, then you'll be able to do more. But I'd like to start off with one right, Sir Rav Lapian. Start off in a good way. Send this off. Where do you bring the Bikurim to? Yerushalayim, right? In the Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is also called Reishis. The Beis HaMikdash is also called Reishis. They're both the Reishis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remind yourself about Yetzias Mitzrayim. when the Kadosh Baruch Hu first redeemed us out of Mitzrayim and made us into a nation, renewed our brits with them and brought them over. Could there be any more fitting a concept to bring up right before Rosh Hashanah? To bring up this concept of Kisavo right before you get to the Chag of Rosh Hashanah, the concept of what a Rishis is and what it means to be a Rosh and not a Zanav, is there any other concept that would be even greater? It's just ridiculous. The reason why it's connected is because on Rosh Hashanah, Adam sinned and brought Misa into the world. What's Misa? Elderliness, laziness, boredom, weaknesses, all of those things into the world. That's what death meant. Death did not just mean that he died. Although it's true, he did die. It didn't only mean that. He brought all those bad problems into the world. It should be that we should always see the renewness of the world, the newness of the world every single day. But in Teva, it's already ingrained into nature that the initial excitement that anyone has is gone in seconds. It's all gone. So how are we attacking that? By bringing Bikurim. By renewing ourselves every summer, by bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash and Rosh Hashanah. That's the connection. That's why Yaakovinu couldn't sleep on the Makom HaMikdash. Because sleep is a 60th of death. A 60th of death? You can't have any death on the Makom HaMikdash. You can't sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the exact opposite. That's why David HaMelech never really slept. He slept like a horse. He sleeps like a horse. He slept on his shtender. You know, as he was learning, he like did the little head bob thing. You know, as he was sleeping. That's how he fell asleep. Why? Because David HaMelech and Yaakov, you know, are the Gilgulim of Adam HaRishon. And if Adam HaRishon brought death into the world, their fixing up of that sin was to go to the Beis HaMikdash and to fix it up with their neshamos. That's why we get up earlier this time to go for slichos. To lose sleep, regain our energy, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu correctly. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is the same gematria as Beis HaMikdash, both 861. Because the concept of Rishis is all over the place. Of finding that newness and bringing yourselves back. Use it well. Just use Zuizus. And you'll renew yourself again and again and again. You're going to need it. And it'll happen one after the other. But this is the example of what a person has to do in order to feel like they're doing something. So here's the summary. Have bitachon, and therefore you'll have simcha. Bitachon leads to simcha, and that will allow us to defeat the other nations, Yeshu and Mahmud, by loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yahavta is by defeating them. The Etahara fights for you to think that there is simcha there by Bati Avodah Zarah, but there's no simcha there. That's just nothing. That's just something that they're fooling you with. Bikurim is erasious. It's hischadshus, renewing yourself to be metakin the chait of Amalek, and feel like it's new, even when this isn't necessarily like that case with Rabbi Chalchan Inspector. And Rosh Hashanah's tikkun is to bring it all to the Beis HaMikdash, to bring that rishis back, to renew ourselves, to make ourselves start all over again, to bring us back to the idea of what we had originally, which was no death, no oldness. That's the idea behind Parshas Kisavo, and then we won't deserve the curses. Then we'll only get the brachos. That's how it should be. Everybody, have a good Shabbos.